praise your name, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. My heart is just full this morning. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so awed by you, Lord God. Lord, you're so precious and so faithful and so just and righteous and kind and merciful. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm just reminded of the song right now that says, when I think about the Lord, and it says, then it goes on to say, it makes me want to shout. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, from the bottom of our hearts this morning, Lord God, we honor you in this place, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, for you've been faithful to us, Lord God. When we didn't even know who you were faithful. Hallelujah. And you continue to show yourself faithful and true. So thank you, Lord God. For this morning, Lord, we have questions that we need answers to. And we just thank you, Lord God, for answering questions for us this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us, Lord, wisdom and an instruction, Lord God, that we may better serve you. And now, Father, as we do shift to the ministry of the word, Lord God, we do open our hearts to any way that you would move in this place, Lord God. Through the ministry of the word or by the gifts of the Spirit. We welcome you to move in our midst today, and we give you and you alone all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 One more time with everything. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to our online family. We're so honored to have you join us this morning. We don't want to neglect. I know sometimes I forget to say hello and may forget to say goodbye, but that doesn't mean that I don't love you. And so I want you to know from my heart and my wife that we love you and we appreciate your joining us in worship and being faithful to us, even though you couldn't be here in person, in the name of Jesus. We also pray that the Spirit of God would touch your heart wherever you are this morning, yes, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 24. And I shared from this verse. I need to look at your pack. Are you on? Oh, nope. Nope, you're not. All right. Where the pianos go? We need you to play a little something. Something sexy. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's not it. It's on. All right. Okay. Dude. Test 1, 2. Go ahead, test.
Test.
No. Oh, oh, there you go.
Test.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Watch it.
Trust me, I'm watching.
That ain't the kind of watching I was talking about.
All
Thank
right.
Thank you.
Your the pleasure. All right. All right, I need to get back in the spirit right now.
Yes.
Exodus chapter 20, verse number 24. And I started to share from this passage of scripture last week, and I just want to read it for the purpose of for those who weren't here and to remind those who were here where we started. Exodus chapter 20, verse 24. It says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offering, and thy peace offering, and thy sheep, and thine oxen, in all the places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And we started to talk about worship last week, to help us to understand what worship really is. That worship is more than just singing a song or the speed of the song. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, worship is a time in the service. And so the beginning of the service is worship, or when we do the slow songs, that's worship. And certainly worship can be expressed that way. But we see here that one of the primary elements of worship is sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And don't let it get lost on you that the scripture says that you should make an altar of earth.
Hmm.
What is man formed from?
Hmm.
Glory. So where should worship come from? Yeah. Yeah. All right. And so, you know, we talked about this and talked about some things that worship is that you know, worship has to do with a surrender and service to God. And we looked at those things, but the Lord just kind of dealt with me that I kind of started in the middle. I kind of started in the middle, and I want to go back in this chapter, and so that we can try to start from what I believe is the beginning. Amen. All right. So, let's just go back to verse number 18. Let's start there. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, what did they do? What did they do? They removed and stood afar off. They removed, or they moved. So they were in one position, and when they saw what was taking place, and all of this fanfare, all of this noise, this thundering, all of these things that you can see, the lightning, the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, that signified that God was there. All of those things happen because God was there. And I don't want you to miss the fact that when God came, what did they do? They removed and stood afar off. Mm-hmm. That should be kind of perplexing. Because what would you expect when God shows up? Huh? Worship? Come close. Come close. I want you to notice something. All the way through this wilderness journey, every time the children of Israel encounter a problem, they start talking to each other saying, you know what? We were better off in Egypt. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. Yeah. Now, what should be fascinating to all of us is that Moses encountered the same problems, and Moses had it better in Egypt than they did. Moses had access to Pharaoh's house and all that Pharaoh had, and never one time do we hear Moses saying, you know what, I think I was better off back in Egypt. And so there was an issue. There's something going on here that I believe we need to make note of. Let me just read down so that we can begin to get into this. So they removed and they stood afar off. This should remind you of something. In the book of Genesis, after they sinned, they heard God in the garden, and you could say they removed
and hid.
Or the scripture actually literally says they hid from the presence of God. All right, let me, I'm getting ahead. Okay. Verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. What gives you the impression that time with God will kill me? That's got to be deception. Verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you. Fear not. This is what I want to get to right here. For God is come to prove you. And that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. So, and I prefer, it helps me to understand this word prove, because a lot of people will translate it as test, and certainly it is a test, but kind of not. In a sense, it's kind of not, because God already know what score you're going to make on the test. So I prefer to translate it this way, that God that God came to expose you. To show you, because he knows what's in there. But sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know why we are afraid of God, why we think that somehow speaking in tongues could be the devil, why we believe that certain things we don't, that's too deep. You know, that's too much of God. Why we think those things. And so there is a fear of God, and that's what God wanted to expose. He said that now God has come to the people to see or to expose your heart to see if his fear is in there.
Yeah. You know, it makes me wonder, based on their perspective, because when all was said and done, first, the children of Israel in the natural are some of the wishy-washiest people I've ever seen. But they had been under the ruling thumb of Pharaoh, who did nothing but push fear, the afraid kind of fear. And if you didn't line up with what he wanted, what he commanded, then you would die. So, and he considered himself God. So this is what they have seen a quote-unquote God be. And
A terrorist.
Yes. Yes. Which is what some people still use today. I will terrorize you. I will make you afraid of me to the point where you will do whatever I want you to do. And if you don't, I will kill you. And God is so far from that. But this is what they have grown up with, because they had been in captivity for, what, 400 years? Maybe 400 and some days. But so multiple generations had only seen Pharaoh. And as ugly and as hard as that was, when things got hard, that's what they wanted to go back to.
Amen. Amen. And so what I recognized was this, is that before worship, there is and necessarily needs to be a healthy, reverential fear of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
A fear of the Lord. Glory to God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33, I want to look at verse 6 in the Amplified Classic. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
And you know, I think a lot of people try to interchange fear to all mean the same thing. I'm afraid of God. You need to be afraid of God because he's God. And that's not what God is looking for. That's what the enemy is looking for. But that's not what God is looking for.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, there is absolutely a difference. And I can explain the difference this way in just looking at the examples that we've looked at. The terror of God will cause you to run from him, and the healthy fear of the Lord will cause you to run to him.
Yeah.
One will cause you to run from him. The other will cause you to run to him. And you know, when I was studying this, I saw a quote from Jesus, and that the quote just help me to understand. There are more people that need to deal with this than that understand. Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, I believe is verse number 8. Jesus said, "This people do honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." In other words, they still say the right things, but their heart ain't there. And so what I recognized is that these aren't people that don't love God. These are people whose heart don't fear him. Mm-hmm. Heart doesn't respect him. Heart doesn't reverence him. You know, there are some, the best example that I can think of, there are some children that have no respect for their parents. And I've seen children do things and say things that even at my advanced age, I wouldn't do in front of my parents. Amen. I like advanced. That sounds good, don't it? Yeah, that's a good word. That's a politically correct word. Amen. So there are things that I still won't say and do in front of my parents because there's a respect there and an honor there. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the things that the scripture teaches about the fear of the Lord is it says in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Yeah.
Evil, pride, arrogancy, and the froward mouth. Then it says, do I hate? So God hates evil? God hates pride? God hates arrogance, and God hates a lying mouth.
Amen. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so the fear of him is to hate what he hates, mm-hmm. and to love what he loves.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 6, please. Thank you, Lord. It says, and there shall be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his. Hmm? Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, can you see that I value the respect that I have for him to such a degree that I can't do without it? And so there are things that I just won't tolerate. And I think sometimes we can get a little bit too tolerant because that's a doctrine of our society.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just for that reason, but I think even in our entertainment, even in the things that we speak, the things that we hear, we become too tolerant of those things. And so that means that we are allowing things, when we listen to that stuff and watch it, it gets in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that they have, scientists and neurological specialists and all those deep people, one of the things that they say is our subconscious doesn't know right from wrong. It just knows what you continually subject it to. And so if we continue to let the world, we think it's entertainment, but the devil doesn't look at it as entertainment. Mm. And if we keep subjecting ourselves to it, ha, 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 that's so funny, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, your subconscious is taking note and filing it, and you will, if you're not mindful, you will eventually take that on as a part of who you are. Because the subconscious is like that computer program, and you keep putting the program in there, it's going to give you back what you put in, even if you didn't do it on purpose. Well, it doesn't take all that. Yes, it does. Well, I don't think it doesn't matter what you think. This is how it operates. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, what Jesus says, you know, we come to church, we lift our hands, we say all the right things, but our heart is far from God. God was the first one to say it back in Isaiah. And it's because of the teachings of men. You know, it's work not to side up with the world. It's work. It is W-O-R-K. Living in this world is work because everything is going against what God has established. But at some point, we have to get the attitude, my soul is not for sale.
Yeah.
Not for entertainment, not for gossip, not for YouTube, not for Facebook. My soul is mine.
Now, I think, now remember, so we started out in Exodus chapter number 20. And just think about this wonderful deliverance where they've been finally delivered from slavery, and they have this promise of a land that's filled with milk and honey. But Moses doesn't take them to the land first. Moses said, we're going to stop by God's mountain first. And see that I believe the first issue comes in that people want to be introduced to the miracles of God before they meet the God of the miracles.
Yeah.
And so if you don't meet him first, the miracles and the power and the promises can become an idol to you. And if you don't see them, you turn quickly on God. But see, Moses was never like that because Moses met him first. And if you look at the children of Israel, they didn't meet him. They just kept seeing him do miracles in the land of Egypt. They kept seeing these plagues come that Moses said God was going to bring to judge all of the idol gods of Egypt. They saw those, and then they saw Pharaoh let them go, and they saw themselves leave with all the wealth of Egypt. They saw the Red Sea parted. So they saw all of these miracles, but anytime there was a challenge, if there wasn't a miracle immediately, they turned their back on God.
And turned on Moses.
And turned on Moses. And so it's important that we meet the God of the miracles first. It's important that before we try to bow down and worship, we meet him.
Yeah.
So it's not a struggle to bow down because I know the one that I'm worshiping.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And, you know, I think, too, that, you know, we're talking about what you expose yourself to. That was the problem in the garden. Remember, God asked Adam, "Where, Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, I hid because I knew that I was naked. And then God said, who told you you were naked? In other words, what have you been listening to that has turned your heart from me?
Yeah.
And they hid. And listen, the reason that people hide is never legitimate. It's never legitimate. Amen. God made every part of me. He's seen the whole ugly thing. The whole ugly, all of me without clothes, he's seen it all. Amen. So I don't have to hide from him because I'm uncovered. But see, when you've been listening to the wrong things, you'll hide for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Amen? Or you'll try to return to what you came from all for the wrong reasons because you've been listening to things you shouldn't listen to. Amen. And so it's important. That's the scripture tells us to guard our heart above everything that we guard because our fear of the Lord lives there. And look, this scripture says that the reverent fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his. In other words, God treasures, God highly values and esteems a heart that reverently fears him. It's precious in his sight.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all ain't saying amen good enough. So in the book of Job, God started bragging on Job and how he was a righteous man, that there was nobody like him, that hated evil. And the devil said, does he fear you for nothing? It's because he's been blessed that he fear you. Do you see what he's questioning? Does he love you because of the miracles, or does he know you?
Yeah.
And the devil tried to, I don't know why he tried to challenge God, but he said, if you take away the miracles from him, he'll curse you and die. And he did not. He did not. And the scripture says in Job, in all of these things, he sinned not against the Lord with his mouth.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at another scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 9. You can go to the King James for that one. Hebrews 1:9. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Now, this scripture says of Jesus, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above everybody else. So the anointing of God is hanging in the balance. But I want you to see that he loved what God loved and hated what God hated. And so if your heart is going to be developed in the fear and reverence and awe and esteem of God, that your heart must begin to love what he loves and hate what he hates.
Yeah.
I got to be developed in that.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Jesus said was part of the challenge in man's heart being far from God is because they listen to the doctrines of men as mm-hmm. opposed to knowing God for themselves. Mm-hmm. And even when Jesus went to the cross, they thought he was going to the cross because he sinned against God. They so misunderstood. And so we have to make sure that we don't let people who don't understand God lay out the rules of how we walk with God. Because the world will try to paint a doctrine and commandments that work for the world. Well, you know, that was then, this is now. No, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it does not line up with what God has said, if it does not line up with what, not even just what God has said, if it does not line up with pleasing God, and I won't really know what pleases my Father if I don't know him, then there's the temptation to listen to someone else tell me what pleases God, and they don't even know him, and it becomes dangerous. And then, I was watching this movie / documentary, and this whole country turned against this one man, and it was almost like there was just this mob mentality. So I'm gonna go the way of everyone else so that I will fit in, so that I won't stick out like a sore thumb. No, if the whole world loves me, something's wrong. Because I'm not partying with them. I'm not gossiping with them. I'm not being judgmental with them. I'm lining up with God. The world curses, you know, leadership, for example, in the God. Not saying that they're perfect, but God said to honor and respect them. So if the world will try to get you to come in with the mob, and they're over here, and God is over here. Everything that I desire is really over here, but they're trying to tell me it's here. We have to make sure that our heart desires God more than life itself in this world. Because sometimes it will feel like it, like you're ostracized. It will feel like nobody understands. It will feel like nobody cares. It will feel like everyone's turning their back on you. But are you pleasing the Father?
So remember earlier I talked about the fact that the reverent fear of the Lord will run toward him.
Mm-hmm.
And the terror of God or being scared of God will always run from him because they believe they have something to hide.
Yeah.
Amen. And so then now look at that. That means that there is in the heart of those that fear God, the difference is presence. One runs to his presence. In other words, one can't be without this presence. And so anytime I know that his presence is there, I'm running there. I can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
And one runs from his presence. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so you develop a love for his presence. Now let's look at Psalm number 89. Psalm 89, 7. It says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him or all those that are around him. He is to be had in reverence. Amen. That he is to be held in reverence.
Mm-hmm.
He is to be esteemed. He is to be highly regarded. You know, in a courtroom, when the judge comes in, he is to be held in reverence. They will throw you out of there if you refuse to stand up. Amen. Amen. And so then now we when God is worshiped, if my heart fears him, then I will not allow myself to not worship him to the degree that he deserves. That means with everything that I have.
My whole lifestyle.
Everything. Everything. And let me just share this. God will never be in an atmosphere where he's not respected.
Yeah.
He won't show up there. And so this is something that takes place every day in our lives. This is something that we help to train our hearts to. It's not something that we try to make ourselves do. If you're trying to make yourself do it, it's not in your heart. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. It's kind of like, you know, if I tell my wife that I love her, I don't have to make myself do that. And if you've ever encountered anyone that makes themselves say that, or a better one is make themselves say, I apologize. Mm.
Yeah, you know the difference.
You know the difference. There's no heart in it. There's no heart in it. And so, you know, why would there be no heart in my respect for God? Could it be that I respect some things that won't allow my heart to properly esteem Him?
Yeah.
Could that get in the way? And going back to the garden, when did they hide from him? After they esteemed something that he told them don't have no part of that.
Yeah.
So they didn't love what he loved. And at that moment, when they began to love something else, it was not possible for them to express love for him.
Yeah.
Do you see that? So I believe that there are some things that for us we have to take inventory of.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we have to allow God, because you can't yes. make yourself love him. That love that we have for him has to be something that Holy Spirit spreads in our heart. Yeah. Now, when does he do that? When we invite him in.
Mm-hmm.
When we begin to listen for his voice.
Mm-hmm.
When we surrender our tongue to him in praying in the Spirit. When we look to his word for guidance and direction, when we do all of those things, there is a healthy reverence for God that is built on the inside of us. And let me tell you this too. You cannot possibly walk in faith without a reverence for God.
Yeah. Because faith actually means I reverence him. I trust him. I give my life to him. Faith, the rest of my life lines up with what I believe, yeah. good or bad.
And I refuse to accept anything other than what God said. Because what God said is true.
Yeah.
What God said is right. What God said is just. What God said is holy.
Yeah.
What God said. And there's an irreverence in your heart that refuses to look at or consider anything else.
Yeah. But you've got to allow Holy Spirit to help you recognize the anything else. No. Right here. And somebody get your attention. You go here and Holy Spirit go, no. Right here. No, right here. You know, I've talked to individuals who have felt like my life is okay. What do I need God for? Now, that may sound crazy to you, but there are some people who believe that because they haven't seen anything else, or they've been able to get over the hurdles of life. They've been able to get themselves out of this, that, and the other, not realizing your ability to win at anything is because of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to acquire finances is because of God's goodness. Your ability to stand up on your own two feet when you get out of bed is because of God's goodness. Anything good only comes from God. And we live in a world where, you know, entertainment, I think I've shared this before, you know, you have all the different movies that are based on comics, I'll put it that way.
Mm.
But the picture that they paint, if you are paying attention, is there's no God except man. It's man's superpowers that come to the rescue. God is nowhere in the movies. And as I said before, and God has had to get my attention on this, as I've said before, my subconscious doesn't judge. Mm-hmm. It just looks at what I have subjected it to and say, that's what you want? Okay. Mm-hmm. And at some point, if you allow that to continue, it will pull you away from what God has said.
Yeah.
Like when Eve, she kept looking at the tree. Mm-hmm. Now, Adam was there, the Bible tells us. He was right there. So now they're both looking at the tree. Mm-hmm. And Satan has sold them the biggest lie, mm-hmm. that God is afraid, mm-hmm. that you will be like him. Mm-hmm. God made you like him. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But you forget that when you allow your attention to be drawn away,
amen.
From what God has said.
Let's just look at a couple of things. First of all, let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 6. We'll look at a couple of things we'll park it until next week in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 16:6. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, what happens?
Men depart from evil. Wow, yes.
Man. And see, now, this is so good to me, because we can see then that when the fear of the Lord is in your heart, you leave some things.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people believe that, I need to get everything right and then I'll come to God. No, when you come to God and you learn the fear of the Lord, you'll leave some things. And I remember when I first got saved, and I've told this story before, I really enjoyed listening to music. And when I first got saved, I remember learning about one of the groups that I really enjoyed listening to. And I learned that they worshiped ungodly, devilish things. And I really enjoyed their music, and I took a stack of their albums, and I burned them. I burned them. And I made a big deal of it, out of it. I told my whole family, I said, I found out something about these people. I took those things in the backyard. I set fire to them. I said, I'll never listen to them again. Now, that's not to pat myself on the back. But that's saying that my heart wanted so much to please God, and I refused to allow something that I enjoy to get in the way of me being in his presence, that I got rid of him. And so it was by the fear of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that I departed from that evil.
Mm-hmm.
And see, sometimes we struggle in some areas with some things that we are, that we allow to hang around.
Yeah.
And there are things that hang around that bring stuff with them, bring people with them, bring attitudes with them. And it says, by the fear of the Lord, men do what? Depart from evil. Now, notice the fear came first, and then they left.
Yeah.
So it was for me, it was my falling in love with God first. And then that love for God says that I ain't going to let anything get in the way of this. This is so good.
Amen.
This is so good. But see, that comes from spending time with him to find out how good he is.
Yeah. And that's spending time in his presence, not just going through the motions, because really it's his presence that stirs me to walk away from what doesn't please him. There's something supernatural and empowering that comes from the presence of our Father.
that allows us, without even thinking about it twice, to walk away from evil. Mm-hmm. There's this deep knowing, this building up of a stance that I refuse to be moved from, mm-hmm. that comes from spending time with him. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that is sometimes challenging for leaders in the body of Christ, whether it's pastors or evangelists or any of the five gifts, is because trying to share with people a spiritual truth that they have to experience, mm-hmm. as opposed to learning from the outside in. Mm-hmm. There are some things about God you will not know without spending time with him. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. Not because he doesn't love you, mm-hmm. but because he's separated himself from the darkness of the world, and he's had to separate himself so that his presence wouldn't kill the people. But he hasn't separated himself from you. Mm. When we receive salvation, we receive the presence of God. But then we still have the responsibility to do our part in developing our relationship with him.
I remember a Christian rap song where the rapper was talking about how he, on the Friday night, he still wanted to go to the party. And he said, I can't go to a party where you're not even invited. Mm. All right. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We'll go through this one and we'll close here, I believe. Verse number 8. Psalm 34:8. So this is it right here. This is where the rubber meets the road. Look at it. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 11, come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Watch this, verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. I saw this and I recognize one of the main areas that people struggle with is what comes out of their mouth. Mm-hmm. And in this passage of scripture, where it's talking about teaching us the fear of the Lord, the first thing that it says you need to get a control on is your mouth. Amen. Keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking guile. We're going to get more into detail on this to help you to understand, because I think that, let me just say this. One of the first things after I got saved that we heard from the pulpit is the power of our words. Mm-hmm. And so we began to police each other, if you will, about what you said with your mouth. And so, you know, we would say things like, oh, man, that's just killing me, or that tickled me to death. We wouldn't say that because those words were words of death. And we did not want the power of our own words to be used against us. We understood that there was power in the words of our mouth. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, especially for married couples, this is an area that is tragic And it breaks up so many marriages because you say things to one another mm-hmm. that speak death to the relationship, mm-hmm. that threaten the end.
Yeah.
You don't know how to disagree without making it personal.
Yeah.
And once you make those things personal, you speak foul, evil, beguiled things to your spouse.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
So if, as your wife, I'm doing something that you really, really hate that I do,
mm-hmm.
and you keep complaining to me that I do it,
mm-hmm.
so I've already got the habit of doing it, whatever it is, and you're complaining to, even though you're voicing your displeasure, you're speaking over me and strengthening that thing in me
mm-hmm.
to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you always,
mm-hmm.
well, okay, keep mm-hmm. me in prison. Help me stay in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that, listen, mm-hmm. some of y'all kind of chuckling, but some, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have spouses that have been in prison because you keep saying the wrong thing. And letting it come out of your mouth. Well, babe, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I can sit and say I know all day long. But if you want to change it, help them break free of it by speaking what you want.
That's right.
Proclaiming over them what you want. The same goes for your kids. Listen. Praise the Lord for all God's wonderful little blessings.
Yeah.
But if there's something they're doing, speak differently than what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I just need, no, you just need to empower that child
mm-hmm.
to walk as God created them by speaking over them what you want instead of continuing to complain about what they're doing that you dislike.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come back here next week because I think it's important. I just want to say this: the book of Ephesians teaches us that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit by the words of our mouth.
Yeah,
and it grieves Holy Spirit when I speak against her character. Now, the words that I say may actually be what she's done, but I don't want to agree with what she's done. I want to put myself in agreement what God intended and purposed for her to be.
Yes.
So I want to speak words of grace, words of encouragement, words that support her. I don't ever want to tear her down.
But what I'm speaking is a lie. No, it's not. What you're speaking is the truth. How they're acting is a lie. I refuse to let my husband stay in a prison just because I feel the pressure of giving him a piece of my mind. Some of us need to hold on to all the little pieces we can so that we can speak the right things at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We also need to learn to appreciate the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things that my wife has a way of doing them that just for me seem backwards as all get out. It just, I don't even know how you function like that.
Wait a minute. I just got to add this right here.
Okay.
So I'm not getting ready to talk about you.
Uh-oh.
I'm just getting ready to say. Now, some of you, if your spouse said that about you, you would be mad. And you would be ready and probably would bless them out instead of laughing. That's right. If you can't laugh at yourself with your wonderful self, the devil is going to trip you up every time you turn.
Yeah.
You trust, listen, You're not that perfect. I know you're wonderful, but you're not that perfect.
Let me just end with this. When your heart fears the Lord, you see people different.
Mm-hmm.
There's a depth of compassion that you can't even develop yourself. You can't find it yourself. And when I allowed the Lord to help me love her, I saw her differently. And any flaw that she may have had, I haven't discovered one yet.
Amen. You are so wise. You are so wise.
But the Lord will help you to love them despite their flaws.
Yeah.
God's love is unconditional. So it's not conditioned on your being perfect and being flawless.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not. And so if your love stops where their flaw begins, then your love ain't enough. You need the love of God to allow you to continue to love them despite any flaws that they might have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And that heart cries out with compassion. Man, this is the heart of Jesus, that when the woman that was caught in adultery was brought before him, Jesus said, "Let the one without sin cast the first stone."
Mm.
Now watch this. And then Jesus said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "They all gone." He said, "Does none condemn you?" She said, "No. No, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I." Neither do I. Neither do I. Now, it may be true that they need to stop doing that, stop saying that, stop being that. That may be true.
Yeah.
But we need to have more compassion to say, "You know what, Lord, I made a commitment to this individual, and right now I'm getting ready to pray for him, Lord God. And I believe you, Father, for every spiritual anointing to rest on them. I thank you, Lord God, that the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God, is developed in them. I thank you, Father, that they are filled with love, with joy, with peace, long-suffering, gentleness, Lord God, meekness, temperance. I thank you, Father, all these things flow in them. I thank you, Father, that their tongue is as their tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. I thank you, Lord God, that it's motivated by your Spirit, that all of their decisions, Lord God, have your wisdom flowing in them. And I thank you, Lord God, for the mighty ways in which you work in their lives." Mm-hmm. I believe you, Lord God. I know that they love you, and I believe, Lord, that their heart is daily being changed to respond to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You can't pray for somebody like that and not begin to love them. Yeah. Even though you may have hated them for what they did, even though it may have hurt you to your core, you'll learn to love them.
Yeah.
Jesus loved his disciples despite the fact that all of them turned on him. All of them. He still loved them. We need that kind of love, because that kind of love comes out of a reverential fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Skabade nikishko. Mekero bata sike la bonshite. Kamboroki deshkile ekobonanski. Oprokiste de glesoto. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit. Holy Spirit's called our helper.
Yes.
We can see, Lord God, from your word that in order for us to walk in the fear of the Lord, there's some things that we need to stop saying There's some things that we need to depart from. And so we need your help identifying those things, Lord, because we don't want anything to stand in the way, Lord God. We want, Lord God, to run towards you. We want, Lord God, to be filled with joy at any opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, in fact, Lord God, we want to be in a position where we refuse to be without you. And so we thank you, Lord, for the operation of Holy Spirit in this place today. And Lord, if there are things that we've exposed ourselves to, things, Lord God, that have lived in our hearts, things that we've said, Lord God, that keep us from you, we pray that those things be exposed, Lord God. And we commit ourselves to departing from those things. Father, we saw in your word that when the altar of earth is built and there are sacrifices made there, you said that you would show up, you would meet us there, and you would bless us. And so, Father, we look forward, Lord, to times of blessing. We look forward, Lord God, for times of fellowship. Teach us, Lord, the fear and reverence and awe and esteem. Teach us, Lord, so that we can celebrate you uninhibited, Lord God. That nothing would get in the way.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing would hinder us. Nothing would hold us back. We thank you, Lord God, for a worship, Lord, unlike anything that we've known, Lord, from the depths of our heart. We express our love.
Thank you, Lord.
Our appreciation, our devotion, and our awe. Thank you, Lord. Father, we repent of things that we needed to depart from. We repent, Lord, as you show us those things. We turn from them. We'll never allow those things to cause us to hide from your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your instruction. Thank you, Father, for a depth of love that we've never known before. For our spouses, Lord God, for you, for your spirit, for your word, for doing those things that are pleasing in your sight, Lord. Lord, we cannot at all tolerate the idea of not pleasing you.